Don't forget to tune in to 41 Action News on Sunday for the Chiefs-Packers matchup. Coverage starts at 5 p.m., kickoffs at 7:20, and a post-game when the show ends on your home of the Chiefs.
Auburn, open, catch, touchdown.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Jacobs cutting back, getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
I just don't remember anybody doing what this young man has done so far in the league.
It's fourth down and one.
You know, I've mentioned it before, especially those two losses we had. Really felt like, you know, that was our time as a defense to kind of step up. And we're quite aware of, you know, what's going on around us. I'm grateful that, you know, we're kind of rolling into, everybody really kind of starting to see our progression as a defense. And we just got to control we can control, no matter, you know, where the ball is on the field, no matter the situation. Our job is to play defense, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs and apparently Tyrann Mathieu this week. Although, I guess Gary Lezak actually got to hang out with him at a little Shark Tank for Teachers event this week. Tyrann not in the studio, but he did talk at the podium this week about the defense. Look, we talked after...
Did they play the Baby Shark song at Gary's event?
We can only hope. we talked, I think it was after the Houston game, about how, you know, hey... This team's six games in.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not listening to you. Baby Shark's just rolling in my head. Right
there you
now.
Go. There you go. Do.
It sounds much better than that, though. I promise.
Coming out of the Houston game, I think people felt fairly pessimistic about this defense and where this defense was at.
I wonder why.
after seeing the Broncos film, has that changed at all? Do you feel like this defense turned a corner, or is this just a product of Joe Flacco should retire and, you know, shouldn't have, you know, they took advantage of a weak offense?
The defense showed its potential. It showed what its ceiling can be when it attacks and when it can hit on all cylinders. Now, if they can do that on a regular basis against better competition offensively is the question everybody's going to be wondering. And it's something that they're going to have to go out there and physically prove on national TV. Because if they prove it against the Packers, people are going to stop asking. If they prove it against the Packers and the Vikings, people are really going to stop asking. Because, I mean, when you think about this and the waves that everything's happened, you remember the first 4 weeks... The Chiefs were all the national media could talk about. Oh, it's the Chiefs and Patriots collision. Oh, the Chiefs, they've got this offense. It's like a circus, you know, and that's all anybody would talk about was how amazing Mahomes looked. He's going to be MVP, do this and that. And then they faced the Lions, and then the talk changed to, well, what's the narrative? You know, well, that's the blueprint. That's a blueprint for attacking the Chiefs. Is that it? And then the Colts did it, and they're like, oh, my gosh, it is. And it's just been funny to where you're almost to week 7, week 8 now. In that range, and just how where they were in terms of national media talk to where they are now, and local too as well, it shows you the football is a long season. There's a lot of waves, there's a lot of ebbs and flows, and the teams that can stay consistent along the way and can avoid injuries, those are the teams that get to the mountaintop.
Speaking of injuries, though, does it even matter what the defense does this week if Patrick Mahomes isn't in there? I mean, where's your confidence that this offense can be anything resembling the circus like you talked about if Patrick Mahomes can't play? And to be clear, you and I both agree he's not playing against Green Bay, right?
I would not expect him to unless he has some special thing like Thanos to where he can bring back time or whatever the heck that thing
does. Yeah, because Pat Morita passed away, right? So he can't come and rub his hands together and just place it on his knee.
For those that don't know, he's talking about Mr. Miyagi. Mr. Miyagi's not going to be helping out either. So
you're the best around.
You've ruined that song for me, so thank you. You and I both saw it. Please, no. No wax on, no wax off. Please stop right now, sir. And you just bumped the microphone. Look how reckless you are.
With my face.
Look how look how reckless you are with just a microphone right there. I can only imagine what you do to somebody's knee.
Yeah, they haven't let me near Patrick's knee. I was going to try. I offered. I called Brett Veach and I said, Well, I left a message. They didn't actually let me talk to him. But I called the main Arrowhead number and said, hey, if somebody needs to slap their hands together and rub it real quick and, you know, wrap up a bandana in water and put it on his forehead so that Patrick Mahomes can play, I will do that. I have not heard back, but I mean, look, there's still a few days for the game, so it's possible that they just haven't got back to me yet.
I cannot believe they did not immediately jump at that opportunity.
Okay, well, I mean,
that's your fault. You were drinking the Dr. Diet Pepper, so I didn't want to.
Look, that's what I'm saying. I agree. Like, if anyone has seen the original Karate Kid movie, you know that like Daniel comes back and he's healed. I mean, if they would just let me do this, Patrick Mahomes would crane kick Matt LaFleur's team in the face.
Okay, that's one approach, certainly. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore because you just wandered. This is what Todd does. He literally wanders down paths, and then it's like you don't have a phone or a map on you. You're like, where are we, Todd? And
if you would just answer the questions, it would be fine. I'm asking, if Patrick Mahomes can't play, does it matter what the defense does this week against the Packers?
Now we circle back around. I'm so proud of you.
I guess basically, what are your expectations for Matt Moore with this offense?
I think this offense is going to look a lot more like an Alex Smith-type offense from 2015 to 17. I mean, when the reality of it is that Matt Moore has his arm strength from what I was able to watch on tape, which was essentially 3 years ago, minus a handful of plays with the Chiefs, is, I mean, he'll get you the short and intermediate stuff. He's accurate with that. He can get good velocity on it. It's not Patrick Mahomes' velocity on it, but I don't expect it to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ways that they can work with him and get him into a rhythm, and I think they're going to do that early on. And I think he'll be able to make some plays. He may force some stuff, too, that puts him in some bad situations. Because the number one thing that I saw is, like, he wants to make some Patrick Mahomes types throw, and this was 3 years ago before Patrick Mahomes was on the NFL. He wants to make what Chiefs fans would consider some Patrick Mahomes type of throws. He just has an arm that's less than Alex Smith's was in terms of getting it 45 yards, 50 yards downfield.
Yeah, I mean, he can throw it. He can't throw as far as Uncle Rico. He can throw it farther near me.
I'm glad that Uncle Rico is the litmus test on that one.
But the accuracy is at times lacking. On those throws. I mean, I think one of the things that is really going to affect this offense, I think, is the ball placement and the ability that allows for receivers to make yards after the catch by catching the ball in stride. You know, that ball placement, that accuracy, Matt Moore doesn't have it to anywhere near the level that Patrick Mahomes does. So how much does that affect what this offense can do? Because if guys can't catch the ball in stride and can't use their speed to their full advantage, I mean, that limits a little bit of how effective this offense can be, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, that's where what I wrote about in the game plan, that's where certain things are going to kind of take over, is where you're going to have to run some pick routes. They get them wide open enough and give them enough room to work and to run clear out routes that they have time to be able to stay in the rhythm of the offense in that regard. So, I mean, they're going to have...
And those underneath crossing routes are effective against this Packers defense.
Yes, yeah, so they're effective against the Packers defense, so it's checking down to the running back in the flats, and the Packers struggle against the tight end, especially out of play action when in that intermediate to deep level, depending on how you do some of the route concepts. Another thing that I saw is when you have trips to that side and you do with the flood, you flood it at level. So what that means is you put three routes in that same area. You have one that's the deep, one that's the intermediate, and potentially one that's the short, but you have multiple reads on multiple levels, and if you space them out correctly enough, you have really wide windows to be able to make those throws depending on their coverage. So, I mean, there's ways to attack, and especially like I wrote in there, the double move. The double move is another way. How aggressive they are, the Packers, their attacking ability, the way they want to jump on routes, there's a way that you can do, especially all play action, you can do double moves the way the corners try to defend the receivers and try to press them towards the boundary. So there's opportunities there if they want to attack it.
But you have to establish the run for some of those double moves, especially off play action, to be effective, right? I mean, they can't just come in and run it first play of the game and expect that to be effective against this defense, can they?
You can do some pump fakes early on to where they're sitting on those short routes, expecting some of those short and intermediates. You can do a pump, and especially with Tyreek, you can really do that. And as long as they don't have a safety over top or you're running a clear out to that, I mean, you could hit Tyreek for a touchdown. touchdown without much of a problem on that. It's just a matter of manipulating some of those things. But yeah, no, there's a lot of opportunities that the Chiefs have to attack this. I'm not going to lie. Whenever I watched the tape, I was like, man, Patrick Mahomes is healthy. He could throw for 400 or 500 yards against this defense without much of a problem if he had solid protection on the offensive line.
Well, that's going to be an issue. What about decision making? I mean, Matt Moore's a guy who's played in more than 50 NFL games. I think he's 15-15 in his career as a starter with Carolina and with Miami. Do you have confidence in his decision making, or do you think that you know, we saw him force some balls against Denver that maybe should have been picked, and maybe this week, you know, with a little bad luck, they are picked and they put the defense in a bad spot. How much of an issue do you think that's going to be for him compared to what we're used to seeing from the MVP?
It's certainly something I'm very intrigued to watch as the game goes on, because, I mean, there were some vertical routes where he forced it into double and triple coverage, and I didn't know what he saw to want to do that. So we'll see what happens with everything. But I mean, I hope they give him a game plan to where it kind of makes the reads easier, kind of helps him out early on, gets him in rhythm and gets him some confidence, and then throw a couple deep passes like he enjoys doing, and then just go from there and build it up.
I mean, you know that there's going to be some screens in there because Andy Reid, you know, is a master of that. So you're going to have some screens to try to slow things down. One thing, and I don't know if Andy Reid was trying to set this up, they did a lot of play action out route, like short out route at Denver, you know, and so that might be an opportunity for some of those double moves you were talking about. If you can, you know, run a couple of those early in the game, get the corners to bite up, thinking that you know, that's where you're going because that's what Matt Moore's comfortable with, and then you boom, kind of take it upfield on him. You know, there could be some opportunities for some big plays. Let's hear about Matt Moore, though. You know, like I said, veteran guy, I've been in the league a long time, and him talking about his abilities and his confidence coming into this one.
Well, watching Pat, it's easy to want to play like him, which I can't. No, I mean, yeah, you have to adapt to the offense, I think. You adapt to the guys around you. Some things are being taught maybe, you know, different than how you've had them in the past. And so, yeah, we're adapting every day, learning every day, new stuff every day, with every experience, every meeting, whatever. So I think I'm open to that and trying to do it how Coach Reed wants it done, or, you know, what works best for certain guys. And so constantly adapting.
You got to love the self-awareness of Matt Moore to say, man, watching Pat Mahomes, yeah, I'm like every kid out there. I want to go out and play like him, but I can't.
I mean, it's true.
It is.
And he knows it, and I know it. You know it. The Green Bay Packers know it.
No, but that's a good thing, because you want him to go in there and be aware of what can he do to help this offense work. First of all, I mean, the Chiefs, like, boy, they've been selling this thing this week, right? Like, I mean, I don't think anybody in their right minds thinks that Patrick Mahomes should play 10 days after dislocating his knee. I mean, the odds of a re-aggravation there, especially when he's already got the ankle sprain, seem high. It seems like a risk that's not worth taking, especially when you're in a division that's not very good. And, I mean, look, honestly, 9-7 probably wins the division. 10-6 almost certainly wins this division, right?
Ideally, 10-6 would win the division, yes.
I mean, we looked at the schedules last night, and we kind of talked about it, though. And I honestly, do you see, I mean, the Chargers are 2-5, the Raiders with the schedule they have coming up, do you see either one of those teams getting better than 9-7?
I think the Chargers have a really steep road ahead of them.
Oh,
whenever you and I were going over their schedule, I was like, oh, I see like 3 or 4 more losses there potentially, yeah, if not more. I think they got a really tough road, and the Chargers have, I think the Charger, or not the Charger, the Raiders, I think the Raiders are the ones that, depending what road they go down with some players, if they have some injuries or depending what happens. I mean, I still think the Raiders have a handful of losses ahead of them. So, I mean,
well, and they kind of went into fire sale mode, you know, well, not complete fire sale mode, but I mean, they started trading away starters this week.
They traded a cornerback who Gruden didn't like away. Yes. But, yeah, they got rid of one guy, but, you know, I think the Raiders are going to be active. I think they're going to be shopping, and they're going to try to find somebody. So I think the Raiders think that they have a shot to win the division. So it'll depend on how things go. I mean, in terms of Patrick Mahomes, do I think he's going to play this weekend? I sure hope not, and I hope he doesn't play against the Vikings, and I hope he doesn't play against the Titans. He might. We'll see. And, you know, I don't really want him playing in Mexico on that field either. Or, you know,
at this
I just don't want to see that. I want to see him after the bye week against the Raiders. That's genuinely where I would feel comfortable. comfortable where I'm like, okay, I think you've done everything that you have to let him heal up. And I know people have argued with me on Twitter and said that, well, you don't see the MRIs and all that stuff. You're 100% right. But logic tells me the more time you give somebody to heal up, and depending what the team does against the Packers and Vikings, you know, maybe you don't feel this rush to have to bring him back. Because here's the thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to be very blunt about this.
I'm listening.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. I know everybody has these Super Bowl hopes and dreams, but here's the reality, and I know Therese and I have talked about this.
That would be Therese Paylor, senior writer for NFL, or senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports.
Yes.
And former Kansas City Star.
And it's kind of something him and I both agree on, is that the Super Bowl run can't just hinge on Patrick Mahomes' ability. It's on this whole roster having to step up. So my thing is that if the roster, the way you constructed, isn't capable of lifting up for a couple weeks or for 3 or 4 weeks, and that it's all dependent on Mahomes, you're probably not going to the Super Bowl anyways. You just kind of face that reality. And I think part of the problem is that if the Chiefs go 0-4 here and they don't make the playoffs this year, I mean, you know, then they didn't have a roster that was constructed properly to be able to do it. I mean, that's the reality. So that's what I think people kind of need to understand, is this next 4 weeks can tell you if the roster was constructed correctly to where they got better than they were in the AFC Championship game, or if, you know, if it hinges on Patrick Mahomes. And if that's the case, they got to do a lot of maneuvering in the offseason.
Yeah, no, if the team can't win any football games without Mahomes, then I think
you already have your answer for January at that point.
Well, and I think at that point, you know, you need to start demanding better from Veach and guys like that, because obviously the roster around him. Now, granted, there's some injuries at play there with Eric Fisher and guys like that, but still, like you said, to your point, the roster can't just depend on one guy.
Right.
And if you think about it, the Patriots didn't make the Super Bowl the year that Bernard Pollard broke Tommy Brady's knee, but they did go 11-5 that year
with Matt Cassel
as quarterback. And yeah, I know that they made the Chiefs made the playoffs the next year when they brought in Matt Cassel, but I don't think any of us are under the illusion that, I mean, it's clear from, that Tom Brady, while he's excellent and he's a difference maker for them, he's not all they've got going on in New England, and he's not the sole reason that they've had this dynasty that they've had. And that's, if the Chiefs want to maximize Patrick Mahomes' career, they've got to get to that level.
Correct.
Speaking of which, completely changing topic here. Who in your mind needs to step up on this offense the most to, so that this team will have a chance to win with Matt Moore? Is it the offensive line, whether Fisher's back or not during, while Mahomes is out? Is it the receivers? Is it Kelsey? Is it the running backs? I mean, where can the Chiefs get the most help for Matt Moore?
It's going to be the offensive line. They're going to have to, especially the interior, the offensive line. They're going to have to be able to run block in a way that they haven't before. They got to pass protect in a way that they have at times, but they have to do it consistently and collectively. It comes down to them, because then that lets the passing game do what it needs to, and that allows them to be a very balanced offense overall. So, I mean, it's going to be up to the offensive line. It's pressure's on the defense and the offensive line to step up.
It looked like Mitchell Schwartz had a nice bounce back game at Denver. He played a little bit better. What do you think of Rankin stepping in there at left guard? And do you think he's a better fit there than Cam Irving? So, because Rankin's had his issues in run blocking, I think, but we know Irving has too. Who do you think sticks in there when Fisher does eventually get back?
I would put Stefan Wisniewski in that spot. He's got a physical mentality that fits Fisher. When Fisher was at his best, Jeff Allen was the left guard, and he had a physical mentality next to him, and those dudes were road grading some people back in 2015. So, I mean, that's when I felt Eric Fisher, when he had somebody next to him that could be reliable in the double teams and picking up and passing off protections. Like that's where I felt like Fisher really shined that year because of that. And Nick Allegretti is a guy that I really like, and I'd love to see him at center or right guard. I really would. I think they have some players on that offensive line that they can put in there, and I think Cameron Irving could be a lot better at a guard spot. But we'll see what they do.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk a little bit more about that defense on the other side.
Home of the Chiefs. You give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, then you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insights from the man who bleeds Chiefs Red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Don't forget to tune in to 41 Action News on Sunday for the Chiefs-Packers matchup. Coverage starts at 5 p.m., kickoffs at 7:20, and a postgame when the show ends on your home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, I thought there were a lot of guys who played better than we've seen them play against Denver at times this season. Anthony Hitchens coming back from the hamstring injury, had one of his better games, had a couple sacks, had the forced fumble on Reggie Ragland's fumble return for a touchdown. Obviously, they've still got some issues in coverage. But maybe Reggie Ragland showed the way and had to play downhill a little bit. But Colin Saunders, is he a guy? Have they found a little secret sauce there with Colin Saunders and Derek Nnadi in the middle, or was this a one-off against Denver? Because it looked like those guys held up a little bit better, were able to create a pile a little bit. They weren't getting double-teamed a whole lot, but can that be a combination you think works in the middle of that defensive line?
I still think that's to be determined. I know people want to have a definitive answer right here and now of how it's going to go the rest of the year, but I mean, that's just not reality. I think.
Were you impressed, I guess, with what you saw against Denver then?
He did better than he did the weeks before, but I also know that the Denver offensive line is a significant work in progress. So I'm not going to crown everybody right now and say that everything's fixed and it's all solved and the Chiefs are kings of the world. We're all going to be great, and we're all going to celebrate with something that's not Wendy's. So,
Where would you go if the Chiefs won a Super Bowl?
The Sizzler. I'm kidding. It'd probably be Texas Roadhouse.
All right.
If they were open. They wouldn't be open that night, so I'd have to figure out maybe Slim Chickens. I don't know. We'll see. Have some wings. I don't know. It all depends on what's open. You put me on the spot here. It's got to be a place that's open at the time after they win.
Well, and probably near the plaza.
You're assuming I'm working that day.
Well, maybe.
I'd be a nervous wreck that day if they were playing in the Super
Bowl. Well, hopefully. See, the correct answer is hopefully the press box.
Yeah, we'll see how things go.
Okay, the other big thing, the pass rush. I mean, they sacked Joe Flacco 8 times and the punter once, so they had 9 sacks in the game. But, we talked about last week. We thought that last week's game could be one where the pass rush got home because Joe Flacco has the mobility of the Statue of Liberty. Aaron Rodgers,
he's very rude to the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I know. It is. I mean, the Statue of Liberty can move a little bit quicker, I think. But Aaron Rodgers is a guy. He's not going to be confused for Lamar Jackson, probably.
I hope not.
But he's a guy who can move around the pocket. He can buy time. He's got some fluidity. I mean, he's definitely on the scale of athletic ability, of the guys the Chiefs have played. He's one of the top three or top four. And athletic quarterbacks have given this Chiefs defense fits this week or this year. Can the pass rush get home against Aaron Rodgers this week or was last week? Or do they need to have a Joe Flacco type guy to be successful?
I think with Rodgers, if you blitz him, especially if you blitz him with too many players, like they it wasn't too many with Flacco, but if you blitz more, if you bring more than one extra defender, if you bring more than 5, like you're daring him to burn you, and that's gonna happen.
Especially if Davante Adams is in there.
Well, he did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday, so if he's not limited or full on Friday, that's bad news. Yeah. That's doubtful or out.
Yeah.
Designation wise, it will be if that happens. But I mean, yeah, what I had in the game plan is I call it contain and collapse. It's what you do with the athletic quarterbacks that can move around to where you have the defensive ends come up and contain him so that he doesn't move left or right. And then the D tackles collapse it in on him. And it's a very methodical rush. It's not reckless, insane, anarchy type of rush. You have to kind of do it with grace and keep discipline on your rush lanes for it to be effective. Otherwise, if this person isn't at the level that it needs to be, then he can escape that side, run out, and chuck it 40 yards downfield for a touchdown like he did against the Chiefs on Monday night when Bob Sutton and Marcus Peters had one of their 15 disagreements that night. And Justin Houston was pretty animated that night, too. But that's the risk you run. So you bring the fifth guy you bring, you're essentially doing to either attack the right guard, Billy Turner, who teams go after because he's the weakness on them, or you use the fifth person to hold the running back in so they don't go out on a pass and they're forced to do pass protection. But you do not bring more than that because Rodgers has a fastball and he will see that and he will throw it to that spot where you void and he will break you.
Yeah. No, he's still Aaron Rodgers. Make no mistake. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's hear from who we got. Tyron Matthew and defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo talking about old Aaron.
It creates issues because of who he is and what he does, and you do have to make that decision. I mean, I always go back to you're going to have to mix it up. He's actually, you know, when Mike Frazier gives us these stats and whatnot, he's actually better against the blitz than he is when you don't. I'll go back to I think it's going to come down to what we do to the other 10, you know, in the one-on-ones. We really can't get stuck staring at him. He's one of the best that's played that position. I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer. We all know that. And he presents the exact problem you're talking about. We'll try anything and everything because we want to try to win the football game. But if we'll try to settle in on what we think is working at the time.
You know, I'll probably say this too. You know, if you watch him on tape, he holds that ball quite a bit. And, you know, I think he enjoys the camera on him. And he enjoys, you know, taking those deep shots down the field. And, you know, that's going to be the challenge for us. You know, the first phase of the route, you know, can we disrupt the timing? And then from there, second phase, can we finish the play? So he's going to extend some plays. He's going to make some plays Sunday night. He's Aaron Rodgers. I think the biggest thing is, like I mentioned, just limited the explosive plays. We'll put ourselves in position to play some good defense Sunday.
So that was Steve Spagnuolo and Tyron Matthew talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Honey Badger don't care.
Well, he should care about the pass rush.
He cares about the game.
He should care about the pass. Because, look, if they can't get to Rodgers and they give him all day, I mean, no secondary in the world can hold up for 4, 5, 6 seconds in coverage. It's just not going to happen, especially against Rodgers with some of the weapons he has. You know, so what, and especially with his secondary. So what does this defense have to do well if they're going to frustrate Rodgers and, you know, have a shot?
In all honesty, I think they're going to have to play some solid zone coverage. And I know that the sounds less than ideal, and that's not very glamorous. I mean, they can jam them and disrupt them from time to time on maybe some of their shorter routes, but when it's longer down and distance, you're going to have to just accept that you're going to have to do some zone coverage and trust that your rush is going to get there. And the Chiefs,
and then make tackles like he did against the Denver Broncos.
And that too, but yeah, no, they're gonna have to understand that you're gonna take some losses and you're gonna have some tough downs. But I mean, the other big part that I think is with Jones at running back. I mean, he's such a dynamic player. He's their most important player on that offense. Matt LaFleur uses him like he used Deion Lewis with the Titans, and he's the reason they have balance on their offense is single handedly because Jones at running back. So figuring out how to defend Jones, I think, is him and Rodgers are kind of what makes that team tick on offense.
So what chances do you give the Chiefs in this one? Because I think, look, the Packers are 6-1, you know. But if you go back and watch, and if you know they put up 42 points. Rodgers had a perfect passer rating against Oakland. But if you go back and watch that game late in the second quarter, you know, the Raiders have a chance to take a 17-14 lead going into halftime, and then Carr fumbles the ball away. Rodgers takes him 80 yards for a touchdown. The Packers get the ball to start the third quarter, put another touchdown on the board against that Raiders defense. And all of a sudden the Raiders went from possibly taking the lead 17-14 to down 28-10, and it was that was all she wrote. The Raiders gave up at that point. You know, I mean, this isn't a juggernaut team in Green Bay is what I'm getting at. I mean, this is a team that is still vulnerable, even to a team led by Matt Moore, right?
They have their their weaknesses on their roster overall, but for the Chiefs to be able to overcome the lack of having Patrick Mahomes in the game, a big part of it's going to be that they're going to have to play a lot of complementary football overall, and all the phases are going to have to be of their team, offense, defense, special teams are all going to have to be hitting on the cylinders like they were against Denver there at the end for them to be able to achieve what they want to collectively. And that's what you kind of need from this roster. If this roster wants to win a Super Bowl, as much as they talk about it, then this is your chance right now. This is your chance to step up and show that you love Patrick Mahomes. You would like to have Patrick Mahomes on this team. He's your leader. He's a tough dude. He's a warrior. But there's a reason you're on this Chiefs roster and people had the expectations they did of you helping lead a team to a Super Bowl.
So are you kind of chalking this one up as a loss?
I don't. I'm not expecting them to win, but I hope they do, and I'm going to root for them too. But I think they have to play flawless football, and they haven't shown me this so far this year that they're capable of doing that.
If they win, though, do you at that point hold Patrick Mahomes out even longer?
I would be very patient with them after that one. Yeah. If the Chiefs were able to beat the Packers, you've already accomplished one of the probably two wins you need to keep it in a comfortable level for the playoffs. So I would find his car keys and take away his phone and be like, you're going to do your rehab, but you're staying at your house. you're not going to be playing that Vikings game. That's just me personally, though.
All right, hey, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will check the tweeters.
Home of the Chiefs. You give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you'd need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Don't forget to tune in to 41 Action News on Sunday for the Chiefs-Packers matchup. Coverage starts at 5 p.m., kickoffs at 7:20, and a postgame when the show ends on your home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, I really feel like, let's just say Patrick Mahomes doesn't play for a month. If the Chiefs go 2-2 and they're sitting at 7-4, going into the bye week, I think that they basically at that point will have the division wrapped up because there's enough games on the back end. If you bring back a healthy Mahomes, obviously you can't have any other major key injuries or you can't have a roster decimated by injuries like you did kind of against the Colts in that other Sunday Night Football game. But I think if you're sitting there at 7-4 with 5 weeks to go, you get that week of rest for everybody. I think you're sitting pretty to win the division at that point, don't you?
No, get to that point first, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, let's check the tweets and see what the people think about it.
Check tweets. Roundtable is going to ask, what did the defense do differently last Thursday against the Broncos, and is that level of play sustainable against more formidable opponents?
Well, I think they got to play Joe Flacco. I think it was you mentioned the complimentary football. I think they were able to once they were able to get the lead, that made a big difference because the Broncos got pretty predictable. They abandoned the run. It reminded me a lot of the Colts, the AFC divisional playoff last week, where the things that they needed to do, they couldn't do as effectively as they'd hoped. And then they dug such a big hole, they just had to kind of abandon their game plan. I mean, and that's always been what you want from this team. You want a big lead. You want to give the chance to be aggressive. But look, Reggie Ragland was a big part of it. I think that maybe that he brought a different mentality. He brought a little bit of an attacking mentality in the middle. And as strange as it sounds, I think he set a little bit of a tone for the defense with that 2-point conversion stop. And I think that they played pretty well from there on out.
All right, this one's going to be from, I'm going to call him Senior Smoothie.
All right.
Senior Smoothie asks, should the Chiefs go after Leonard Williams?
It's a position of need, and this is a bit of a cop-out answer probably, but it depends on what it would take to get him. I think the Chiefs, with some of the costs they're going to have coming up, need to find a way to build through the draft. I'm just not familiar enough with his contract situation moving forward. But I don't think the Chiefs should be giving away top 3-round picks right now. I think they need to hold on to that draft capital.
Yeah, and our final question comes from Jason Grills, who asks, is Frank and Jones going to be ready Sunday night?
Just guessing here, I would say Frank, yes. Chris Jones, probably not.
That's all for this edition of Check the Tweets. What I will say to kind of answer two of these questions here towards the end here, first part of it with Leonard Williams, I think Leonard Williams is a guy that you bring in to either help rotate in with Chris Jones or replace him if he's still going to be out with the groin injury for a while. It is a contract year, so I understand if Chris is wanting to be fully healthy before he comes back out on the field, and I get that. And Leonard Williams may be able to help with that cause.
Sure.
And then lastly, in terms of the Frank Clark aspect, Frank Clark, if you noticed last week, had a brace on his left arm. And for those who don't know, if you go research on Google, he had issues with his UCL last year in Seattle, to where he admitted that he had an elbow issue, and I know he's had the brace on. So I've noticed the brace multiple weeks watching coaches film, and then he had it when he was on. What's up, Todd?
Nothing. He just usually wears that sleeve to cover it up, even in.
Yeah, but you can notice on coaches film. So,
yeah, but I'm saying even in games where he shouldn't, he doesn't advertise that he's got that brace on the elbow.
I wouldn't either.
He tried to.
But anyways, you saw that in national TV against the Broncos in the interview. You saw the brace on his left arm and everything. So, I mean, I know he's got the neck injury right now, and we don't know exactly what that is. I know he had that showed up on the injury report during training camp and everything. And I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, watching coaches film, I've seen a guy that he wasn't as dominant self as he was the year before, but I saw a tough guy that's given everything that he physically had in that moment and been playing through it when there's some other players that I know wouldn't have. So, we'll see what happens. I'm with Frank Clark. I think if Frank Clark is capable of playing, I have no doubt that he will certainly go out there and do that, because that's just who Frank Clark is, and that's the type of mentality that guy has.
Yeah, no, I absolutely expect Frank to play.
So, that's all for Check the Tweets there, Todd.
And that's all for this edition of Why Nick Jacobs Loves Frank Clark and 4th and 1.
I'm just saying he's a gritty guy.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
I literally think he's him and Patrick Mahomes, I think, have the same mentality, to where I think Frank honestly could have dislocated his kneecap too, and Frank's like, let's go out there, let's do this. I'm playing on Sunday, and I think he's that type of guy.
And to be clear, you love that about Frank Clark. You love that about Patrick Mahomes. That's where I think the team needs to. If Patrick Mahomes is going to risk doing further damage or risk putting himself out for a longer period of time than through the bye week,
and trying to practice through it on the football field in front of everybody, all of his teammates in that regard.
Yeah, then yeah. You need to protect him from himself. That's the role of where the team needs to step in. Whether it's Andy, whether it's Brett Veach, whether it's Clark Hunt, whether it's Brittany, whether it's Patrick's dad, I don't care who it is. Like if he needs to get healthy, somebody needs to get through. Because I think Patrick, if it was up to Patrick Mahomes, he would play against Green Bay. I have no doubt in my mind.
Oh, yeah, no, he would.
No doubt in my mind that he would play, or at least start against Green Bay, like Eric Fisher did in the Oakland game. 100% he would try. But we've seen that from Frank Clark, too. I mean, look, you and I started talking, week one, week two, about how, we thought that Frank, there might be a lingering injury there.
Well, not necessarily injury, just remnants of what he dealt with last year, depending on what happened.
He didn't look healthy. And he hasn't looked healthy at any point this season, but he's still out there giving you what he's got, and he's still playing well in spurts.
Well, and the thing I want to say about Patrick here, I think the message that he's able to send by practicing this week to his teammates is he's showing them that he's going to give it his all no matter what to the rest of his team out there. And if I'm one of his teammates and I would have saw that, I'd have been like, all right, I got to give everything I got, because this dude had a dislocation less than a week ago, and he's out here trying to jog and hand off and do all the calisthenics and then also throw the football. This dude's crazy, and I want to go to war for that guy. So that's kind of the message that I think this team needs to take away from him being out there on the practice field this week. I don't personally care about what people want to debate about the gamesmanship and this and that. I think this is a much bigger message to the rest of the team that Patrick Mahomes is going to do whatever he's got to do and show the toughness that the rest of his team hopefully will pick up on and bring as well whenever they go out and play on Sunday night.
And speaking for me personally, I just hope that for the next 78 games they list him as questionable with a knee injury, like the Patriots used to with Tom Brady's shoulder.
We will see how it works out.
All right. I hope you have lots of hugs and tickles in your life, kids.
Please.
Enjoy the week.
Stop.
So, all right, that time's yours.